Tonight's studies, we are going to look on Acts chapter 10. But where we left off last time, we were emphasizing the Barnabas spirit. We were emphasizing the type of person Barnabas was, how Barnabas helped the Apostle Paul to fuse into the company of the disciples in Jerusalem, how he stayed with him to make sure that he was accepted by them at a critical moment when he himself, Saul, then want to know that the apostles in Jerusalem would embrace him as a servant of God. Barnabas did a marvelous job because of the type of spirit that the brother had. And then we said that we would look on Peter again. Peter performed two miracles towards the end of chapter 9. He healed a brother and he raised a sister from the dead. Those are two miracles that Peter continued to do. And he closed out Acts chapter 9 with those two miracles. And then he went on to Joppa. And then we're going to pick up what happened to him in Joppa in chapter 10. But it's interesting to know that the first apostle, he is the first apostle that raised somebody from the dead. The first apostle. In fact, it was only two of them that did that. Peter and Paul. Those are the only two that raised the dead, as far as the New Testament is concerned. There are five people who was raised from the dead in the New Testament. Jesus raised three of them, and then Peter did one and Paul did the other one. So Peter closed out 9 by raising Dorcas, a very beloved sister, from the dead, and the people rejoice greatly because of this particular sister. And so we see Peter active as a servant of God, waiting to be instructed by God to do different things. And we give God the glory and the praise for the young church that he is leading, and he is leading the people according to the Spirit of the Lord. So we start in chapter 10 by looking on an encounter that would change the whole course of history and cause us to see how comprehensive this salvation that we have is in terms of who the Lord designed it for. We are going to pick this up in Acts 10, and we're going to see maybe all of it tonight, or maybe we'll reach a point where we have to call it off and say we come back to it. But we'd love to get the sense of the whole thing here in Acts 10 as we look and see what the Lord is saying and doing at this time in the early church. So let us look on verse 1 and 2 here. Chapter 10, 1 and 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You know, when you read this, when you read this two verses there, the impression that you get is that Cornelius was an out-and-out Christian, was a Christian who have covered all the areas and is sealed in the body of Christ based on what the word tells us right here. Right here. Because look what he does. First of all, Cornelius is a Gentile. And when we talk about being a Gentile, we're talking about any nation, any people that are outside of the Jewish community, whether they are white or black, regardless of which country they belong to, if they are not Jews, they are Gentile. And here is this man Cornelius, a Gentile, looking over the fence, and he is seeing the Jewish community serving a God, and he liked the way in which they went about serving that God, and he watched to see what they do, and he followed suit in doing the things, and maybe even do more, because verse 2 tells us he was a devout man, one that fear God with all his house. Imagine that. Which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. That is a tremendous testimony for Cornelius. One who brings his household under his control by saying, we need to spend time before this God. We need to make sure that we develop the attitude to worship and praise this God. As much as at this point, we don't really know him to the extent that we should. But where what we understand from the Jewish community is enough to tell us that there is a God, one that needs to be served. And he brought his entire family into this thinking. And he was devoted to have different sessions with them, devotions with them, as he continued to serve this God. Not only that, he brought his family with him, but the word tells us that he gave alms. He gave money to the Jewish community. He made contribution to those who are in need. He made contribution to projects that are necessary. And we will understand that he is also a man who have means and because he is responsible for 100 soldiers. He has 100 soldiers working under him. And we realize from the scripture here that this centurion not only give alms to the people, but he prayed to God always. He prayed to God always. And so just looking at him, just looking and seeing what he's doing, the first thing that would come to mind is that this is a devoted Christian. But he had not gone all the way to meet the Savior. He had not gone all the way to meet the Savior. It's out of the goodness of his heart that he was operating. And with intention to seek further, because he believed that there is more to what he was doing. I trust and I hope this type of spirit and attitude would be more prevalent among us from people in our community who will come to seek after God that they might find him. I trust that this will happen to a number of people. This is a busy man based on what the Bible says. He's a centurion. He has 100 soldiers working under him. And yet still, he found time to engage in all of this. And when you do these type of things to please the Lord is taking note. The Lord is taking note, saints. You contribute to the Lord's cause. The Lord takes note of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Lord did in verse 3. So he saw in a vision, that is Cornelius, about the ninth hour of the day, meaning about, that's about 3 o'clock, an angel of the Lord coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said, and he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. What an amazing thought. Cornelius at the time did not even realize to the extent of how far his contribution was going to go. But here is the angel dispatched from heaven and is able to remind him or to inform him that the alms that you have given, the prize that you have offered, your entire attitude towards God has come up before God as a memorial. In heavenly places, he was being recognized for what he has done for the people around him and for his household by bringing them into devotion from time to time. God, in his high heaven, was taking note of what the brother was doing. And I want to tell the people, every one of us here tonight, that regardless of what it is that you do, the Lord is taking note. The Lord knows what it is that we are doing. Especially when our work is towards his name and to glorify him. And here we see that the Lord realized that this brother was really seeking after something. He was seeking to find the fullness of God. He was seeking to find the joy of the Lord in his fullness. And the Lord dispatched an angel to him and told him, here's what the angel said to him in verse 4. In verse 5. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou art to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continuously. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa.
Yeah,
now we know that that's where Peter was, because Acts chapter 9 told us that Peter went over there to Joppa. The Lord know the address of every one of us. Every one of us, the Lord knows where we live. The Lord know our movements. The Lord know our thoughts and our attitude. But the angel of the Lord came to Cornelius. And the angel of the Lord told Cornelius about his own contribution that came up to heaven as a memorial. And as a result of his seeking, Cornelius' seeking, the angel said, you are to send for one Peter, Simon Peter. He is now in Joppa, and he will tell you what you ought to do. Now, I find this amazing. Church, I really find this amazing. Because the angel of the Lord, coming from the throne room of God, coming from the very throne room of God, the Lord could inform the angel about what Cornelius need spiritually. The Lord could inform, he could furnish the angel with all the necessary information that Cornelius need to push him over the top for him to see Jesus. Yet, the Lord refused to do it that way. The Lord chose not to do it that way. You remember what happened to Saul on the road to Tarsus, on the way to Tarsus. When Saul was struck down and he was on on the floor, he said, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? And the Lord told him that he is to go into the street called Straight, and it will be told him what he must do. We read that in the first part of Acts chapter 9. And it will be told him what he must. Now the Lord could have, in Saul asking that question right there, the Lord could have informed him right there and then what he should do, what he was going to be involved in, and all the rest of things surrounding that. The Lord could have delivered that message to him personally. But we are finding that there is something in the church that is very, very important. And that is, the Lord has commissioned the church. The Lord has commissioned the church to speak to the spiritual need of the people. Listen, listen to Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 3 verse 10. Is it? Yeah, listen to what Ephesians 3 and verse 10 said to us. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God chose the church in these two cases. Ananias was the one that God chose to go and inform the apostle Paul, Saul then, what he must do. He had asked the Lord Jesus, what will you have me to do? Ananias, being a member of the church, of the body of Christ, recently converted, was sent by the Lord to Saul to inform him what and what he must do. Not to give him so much the ministry, because he went into Arabia and there he was furnished with the revelation of the church. But in terms of him taking the gospel to kings and to the Gentiles and all the other things that surround that, the Lord chose to use a member of the church to inform him where the Lord could have informed him right there on the way to Damascus. Here we find the consistency of the Lord's operation. We find the consistency of the Lord's operation. We find that the Lord could have asked the angel or furnished the angel with all the necessary information to just tell Cornelius what he needs to know. But the Lord instead asked Cornelius through the angel to send for Peter, Simon Peter, who was about 30 miles away, to send for him that he might come and tell him what he needed to know, because God saw where he was seeking for something, and Peter has the answer for that something to make sure that he is sealed in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are glad to know that the Lord chose the church to inform principalities and powers about his operation, about the manifold wisdom of God. Go and call Peter, and Peter will tell you. And brothers and sisters, this is really challenging on the face of it. Because all these years, Peter would not preach the gospel to the Gentile. Peter confined the gospel to the Jewish community. And the Lord knows it. You remember in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord said to the disciples, go in all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Make a note of that. To all nations, barring none. Peter was there when the Lord gave that instruction. And even with that, Peter still hold back on ministering to the Gentile community. So while, and there is another section here that we need to look on. When the Lord chooses to accomplish his purpose, he operates on a certain level. Look what the Lord does. The Lord works on both ends in order to make sure that there is an understanding and there is a sense of clarity in his appeal and his operation. First, he talked to Cornelius and told Cornelius to send for Peter. While Peter was in Joppa, Peter fell into a trance. And the Lord spoke to Peter towards the same end. But here is how the Lord did it. The Lord sent down a sheet knit at four corners with all different kind of animal in there, creeping things and so forth. And then the voice came and said to Peter, rise, kill and eat. Three times this happened right there. Obviously, the reason why it happened three times is because Peter refused to obey. Because Peter has never eaten anything that is unclean. He has never eaten anything that the Bible said that he should not eat. And Peter challenged the Lord by saying, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. When he looked in there, obviously, he saw beasts, he saw animals that were on the, what would be considered in the Old Testament, unclean list. But the Lord did not stipulate anything. The Lord just said, kill and eat. And Peter backed off. And as I said, it was three times the offer was made. And while it went up for the final time, Peter started to think about what he had seen. And midway into thinking about what he had seen, there was a sound coming from the gate. Somebody was knocking out by the gate. And he went to investigate. And he found out that these men came from Cornelius to him. The Lord working on two sides. The Lord working on both ends. He spoke to Cornelius and he talked to Peter so that his purpose can be realized. Because Peter was very, very serious that he has not eaten anything common or unclean. And when the servants told Peter, who sent him? Who it is that sent him? It was clear that Peter's eyes were open. That the Lord is onto something. And that dream that he had mean more than animal. It mean people. The Lord was speaking to him about people. And this brings me to this point, right now in America and in different parts of the world, we find that leaders, church leaders, there are church leaders who embrace only a certain set of people in their congregation. In America and in different parts of the world, there are church leaders who embrace only a certain set of folks in their congregation. I am telling you, I would love to see in our church in Miami, I would love to see different people of different walks of life come in there and we have a good fellowship together. I am looking that the Lord will do that. I'm looking that the Lord will send different people to us so that together we will worship this God of heaven and give him the glory and the praise that is due unto his holy name. Because right now, there are still segregation in churches. And this thing is misleading. This thing needs to be corrected based on the word of God. And Peter have this bias in him that he's not going to minister to the Gentile. And God has to show up. God has to show up in the form of using unclean animal to tell him that whatever he has cleansed, let no man call it common or unclean. It wasn't until when the servant of Cornelius came to the gate and asked for him and told him who it is that sent him, that he realized that the vision that he had seen with animal didn't really mean animal. It mean people. You know, This story is told about this brother who leave from his community to another community, and when he got to the other community, because he was going to live there, he saw a church and he was impressed with the church, the looks of it, and he said to himself, that is the church that I'm going to go. I've just moved here, that is the church I'm going to go. And the brother didn't waste any time. The first Sunday after he got there, he went to church. He went to the church. And the usher told him, sorry, we are filled. We are filled for today. We can't take anybody else. So he understood. He went home. But he went back the next Sunday and he went earlier. The brother, the usher said to him, all the seats are reserved. All the seats inside are reserved. I'm saying we cannot accommodate you. Can you imagine? And then the brother stood there, and the brother was wondering, why is it that I can't get in there? And so he talked to the Lord and asked the Lord, what must he do? The Lord said to him, son, it's years I'm trying to get in there, and I can't get in there. Mm-hmm. Not to mention you just come.
Wow.
Right there, then he realized what is going on, and he went home and started worshiping at a different place. I'm telling you that this biasness that is still in Christendom need to be corrected. Based on the word of God. Here is Peter. Occupy his heart with this biasness over this period of time. The Lord had to show up to correct it. A brother working miracles. Come on. He has just raised the dead. He has just raised the dead. But yet still linger in his heart. Was a segregation, a bias towards a certain set of people that others should not come into the kingdom, because the kingdom is designed for the Jews. God has to show him that what he has cleansed, no man should call it common or unclean. Church, I just want to say to us tonight, that we need to respect people. When people come to our doors, we need to show a tremendous amount of respect to them. They are God's people.
Amen.
They are God's people.
Yes.
God has cleansed them. God has delivered them. And they are part of the family of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Later on, after Peter get the message and got it very good too, he said, we are what? A holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Peter realized that it is not our standing in society, our color that is going to get us there. It is the blood of Jesus. If we are washed in the blood of Jesus, then we are children of God.
Yeah.
The royal priesthood. And when he said this in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, when he said this, he was speaking right across the board to Jews and Gentiles.
Amen.
Paul said that we are the seed of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham by faith. Those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus. Not just Jews. In fact, before that he said, we are neither Jews nor Gentiles. We are neither bond nor free.
Yes. Amen.
But we're one people in the Lord. Praise God.
Praise God.
Before we go further, let me just pause here for a minute, and there might be something that you'd like to add to what I've just said. Who would be the first?
Yes. Sister Henry, your pastor.
Yes.
Following through with the point you're making there with God working on the two ends, it is notable that in verse 7, after Cornelius got the vision and the angel instructed him, that he didn't just choose two servants. These servants were also described as devout soldiers of them that waited on him continually. And I think it is worthwhile pointing out that when there is a particular assignment that has to be done, Jesus just did not choose any, and the person has to be part to be of a certain requisite. They have to be in order, in a certain state of faith and conduct, and worthy of carrying out that assignment. It is not a light thing. Sometimes we hear you are called, and even if you can't speak or you think you are not eligible, you will be prepared.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will prepare you.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that Cornelius chose the servant whom his eyes had been looking at and had faith to know that they were going to Joppa and they would carry out the assignment just as they were told.
Yes.
I just think it is something that we could look at in a specific way too. That's just a thought. Came to me.
Yeah, sure. It is important, as you rightly identify this, Sister Julie, that contrary to the word here, verse 7, as you said, when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. But look on what it said. And when he had departed, and when he had declared all these things unto them, that part of it, when Cornelius realized how important it is for him to inform these servants of his about what the angel has said, because they were engaged in the same devotion. They were engaged in the same manner of service towards God. And he chose them based on their commitment and the trustworthiness that he saw in them. And to the extent that he did not hold back the information that he had just received, he explained everything to them. Verse 8 tells us, and then he sent them to Joppa. You see what I'm saying? So it is always the servants of God who are engaged in God's work that the Lord wants to use in order to further his ministry. While these servants might not consider themselves as illustrious as Cornelius, yet They were a very important part of the whole process in changing the whole situation for the young church, because they were the ones who went and seek out the bias Peter. They had first had information as to Peter's reaction, because they even spent the night with him too. In Joppa, the servants, Cornelius' servants, they spend a night with Peter. It's the next morning that they got up and they went back to Cornelius' house. You see, so God knows these servants, I believe they were earmarked by the Lord that those are the ones that Cornelius should use to send and call Peter. So I am saying to the church, let all of us make ourselves available spiritually. Let all of us make ourselves available spiritually to be used by the Lord. Because Cornelius did not even realize that he was being watched until when the angel showed up and told him that what you are doing is accepted in heaven. It is there that he realized that all his effort was not in vain. What you are doing, the alms you are giving, the devotion you have with your family and with the soldiers too, and the prayers that you continue to offer, all of those are being recognized in heaven. But you just need something else in order to seal you into the body of Christ. And that instruction you will get from one Simon Peter. The Lord did not say it himself. I told the angel to tell Cornelius what he needs to have. So I'm saying to all of us here tonight that we need to make ourselves available, that Lord will use us. And the Gentile, the Lord has it long ago planned that the Gentile community should be part of the overall fellowship of the new dispensation. The Lord had it planned long ago, but he chooses now to inform the leader of that movement, which is Peter, what his intention is, and to point him to somebody who is seeking to become a part of it. Bless the Lord. When the Lord works from both ends, we know that there is clarity of purpose. And then, I want to say to the church that it is a good thing to know the voice of the Lord. It is a good thing to know the voice of the Lord. Because when the voice said, kill and eat, if Peter did not know the voice of the Lord, Peter would have doubted that this voice is from the Lord. Because the Old Testament tells us about things that were forbidden to eat, meat. That meat that were forbidden to eat. When Peter looked inside there, Peter saw those same meat, same animal. And the voice said, kill and eat. That is what hit Peter hard. If he did not know that it was the Lord, the voice of the Lord, he would have totally disregarded the whole thing as meaningless. But when the servants came, he understood that the Lord was not supposed to speak about animals, but the Lord was speaking about people. Bless the Lord. All right, we hope up the phone lines again for another comment.
Pastor, I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
In Acts 10, he spoke about Cornelius seeing an angel of God. an angel of God coming to him and speaking to him. When it says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord?
Yes.
This angel, we know many references in the Bible about the angel of the Lord, who is in the Old Testament and all over the place, pre-incarnate Jesus.
Indeed.
He still sends angels otherwise. But he says, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? Going down to verse 14, when you're talking again, we're talking about the word Lord. Peter said, not so, Lord. And you are just talking about knowing the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
Knowing the voice of the Lord. Peter asked, sister asked the same question just last night. How is it Saul knew Jesus' voice when he was there and he saw that vision and everything? And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In other words. And Saul said, what would you have me to do, Lord?
Yes,
Lord.
Yes.
We're talking about this word, Lord. We don't call angels Lord. So I am trying to find out from you. And just like you said, he gives specific things for these people to do, just like he told Cornelius what to do and how it should be done. Well, I'm thinking that this person is Jesus. I don't know, what is your view on that?
Cornelius referred to the angel as Lord. And as you rightly said, Sister Barbara, there are times when the Lord appeared to different individuals, especially in the Old Testament, Daniel, for argument's sake. And it is a pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus himself. And the Lord Jesus would appear at different times to Isaiah as well. And so this could very well be one of those occasions. And in the case of Saul, it is just that moment that the Holy Spirit witnessed to him and said, this is the Lord. You remember in John, I think it's John 8, the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. And when her accusers said that, look, she was caught in the very act, and they have their stone ready to stone her because they said, Moses said, such person must be stoned and to death. And then Jesus said, he that is among you without sin, let him cast the first stone. And one by one, they drop their stone and they walk away. So the Lord said to the lady, where are thine accusers? She said, no man had accused me, Lord. Lord, she, who, as they said, was caught in the bed of adultery and brought her out to be stoned to death. In that very instant, the Holy Spirit revealed to her who it is that talked to her. It was the law. It was the law.
Yes. Well, so these are many instances like that, Pastor, when the physical Jesus was there. Physical, many instances. But like in this one and others, God spoke to Agar, God spoke to Abraham, angel of the Lord, and it is God. And we know is the second person of the Godhead, because God the Father, Jesus says, no man know him except him, and so forth. And the Holy Spirit is not a person of the Godhead, but not in physical form like a man. so that it must be the angel of the Lord must always be Jesus in these situations speaking.
When clearly Cornelius, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, called the angel Lord.
Amen.
And we have no, we cannot override that.
Amen.
We cannot override that. We have to admit that it is the Lord incarnate. It is the Lord that appeared to him and tell him exactly what he should do. And just look on the two things. It was the same approach that the Lord had towards Saul that he is having now towards Cornelius.
Yes.
And so the person that is common to the two things is the Lord Jesus himself.
Amen. Amen.
But Cornelius saw him in an angel form. You see? As Luke records it, it portrays the heavenly vision, what heaven is thinking at that moment.
Yeah.
You see? And so that's a very good question, Sister Barbara. Very good question. Thanks for clearing up this part of it, because it means a whole lot. But even though it was the Lord, church, I'm trying to explain something to you. The Lord refused to tell the brother what he should do.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord leave the information to the church. God, blessed be the name of the Lord. What a responsibility the Lord has given to the church. I wonder if the church understand the blessing. The church is responsible for informing even angels about the manifold wisdom of God.
Making him known, sir.
Bless the Lord.
The mystery.
Paul called it a mystery. Look how Paul called it a mystery. Ephesians 3. If you have your Bible, rush to Ephesians 3. Let's just see how Paul called it a mystery. A mystery. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me read from verse 1 to 7. Ephesians 3. Listen to what Paul described the whole thing as a mystery. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, oh, that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And what is the mystery? Verse 5 will tell us.
Yes.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partaker of his promise in Christ by the gospel, meaning the preaching of the church. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It is the church that is given the responsibility of revealing this mystery to humanity. And angels too.
And pastor, and it says done by the Spirit, done by the Spirit. Everything is done by the Spirit.
In the same passage that we're looking at with Peter here, I came across it, verse Yes, it is done by the Spirit. Where is it now, Lord?
Yes, it's in chapter 10.
I'm looking, yes. Because Peter went down to them and then called Elijah. Yes, Mara, Peter. And Peter talked. Yes. I am trying to find it here because I came across something here. And I said, it is good to operate by the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
Yes, because Peter eventually went down to them. It's here somewhere. Lord. And Peter took him. No, before I reached there. Then called Maron, friends. The good. Then fear. Therefore. Yeah, verse 19, Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. While he thought on the vision, the Spirit of God said to him, three men seek thee.
Amen.
Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Operating by the Spirit of God to accomplish the purpose of God. I'm saying to the church tonight that let us seek God for His Spirit so that we will be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an encounter has the Lord seek to bring the Gentiles community in line with His eternal plan. And it caused Peter to be humble. Peter needs healing from his biasness. And this is the antidote that comes to him as the Lord revealed His plan towards a Gentile. He was healed in his spirit. He was healed in his mind, realizing that God is respecter of no person. We will see that when we get there.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Finally, is there another one that would like to share a thought on this passage? We will come back and finish it up the next time. But for where we are right now, is there a thought that you'd like to share with us? You see, what this does is that it fulfilled the prophecy by Simeon. When Simeon saw the child Jesus in Mary's arm, Simeon, you remember when they take Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. Simeon took Jesus in his arm and said, let us know thy servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. That prophecy was fulfilled right here. As the Lord officially bring the Gentile into the community of saints. And that Gentile means white people, black people. As long as you are not Jew, you are Gentile, regardless of which country you are from. And the Apostle Paul make it clear to us here in Ephesians chapter 2. And I will read it for the final scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, 11. Read from verse 11. Listen to what it says. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Listen to what verse 14 said. For he is our peace, who had broken, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment containing ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So we don't want nothing more than this. To know that God, in his eternal plan, had included the Gentiles. And it was only a matter of the right time that he introduced the engrafting Gentile into the family of God, of which Cornelius was one. And Cornelius and his household, we will see the next time we come, how they receive the Spirit of God and become a part of the household of God. So let me say to all of us here tonight, let us respect God's people, wherever they are and whoever they are, because yes, it is through the blood that they came to be called children of God.
Yes.
That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Let us give God the glory and give God the praise as we continue to worship him. Praise God. We will finish off Acts 10 the next time that we come. Bless the Lord.